You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Tony Cincotta, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, and myself, Greg Sussman, with you here on this Tuesday morning. It's raining outside a little bit. It's supposed to be cold. It's supposed to snow Thursday, I was told, here in New York City. Yeah.
It's going to be a brutal week of weather, you know what I'm saying? And
it's not going to be brutal. It's going to be weird. It's going to be like 60 tomorrow and then snow on Thursday.
I know.
Yeah,
I
saw,
like,
that's crazy. 57 for tomorrow, yeah.
And I like to dress according to the weather.
Yes, of course.
So, you know.
Me too.
I don't like to wear boots because they're too heavy.
Yes.
But this is going to be a boot-wearing week.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's 60 tomorrow. Why are you wearing
boots? But it's going to be sneakers in the middle of the day. Today is raining, boots. Thursday, snow, boots. Wednesday, my
sandals.
Feet can No.
Tony just wears shorts all week.
You're lucky he puts the shorts on. He has boxers.
When I was a kid, when I was a kid, we used to wear rubbers. Remember, you put them around your shoes.
Oh, the galoshes. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like those rubber sort of totes kind of things.
I never see anyone with them anymore.
No, those are kind of.
You put plastic bags in them too.
All right, so
we came up so hard. Greg, you would never know anything about putting plastic bags over your shoes.
So I want to fix a flat, gentlemen. I want to fix a flat tire, which, you know, I also know nothing about, for the record.
Yeah.
I
can change your tire.
That's good. I can't do that.
I can't.
You cannot, Tony. All right.
I call AAA. I wait till
Same.
We get there.
Same.
There you go.
Same. But we're going to fix a flat anyway this morning.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Fix a flat. Here you go.
Pumped up.
He's pumped up to fix a flat.
I already got my guy.
All right. I want to know how you're going to do this. Like, who are you going to fix? Because there's a lot of players that were supposed to be good last year, and they kind of sucked. Right? For whatever reason, they weren't very good. But if we fix them a little bit, we get them right. Corey knows how to change a tire.
Yep.
Who should we expect to be fixed? It was supposed to be good last year and sucked. Come back in 2017 of the
now,
year.
Now, I'm not going to.
And why? Like, what statistic are you going to point out to me that, like, hey, this is the reason they sucked last year, and here's why I'm going to tell you they're going to be better?
I'm not going to go too deep down the board, you know what I'm saying, to pick my guy that we're going to fix the flat on for 2017. I'm going to go to old reliable. I'm going to go to a guy that's done it before. Had a bad season last year due to a number of different circumstances, mainly injury. So I think that this season, he bounces back. My guy is Zach Greinke. I think you look at the fact of the years and years and years of being a dominant pitcher. Now, I understand the move to Chase Field is likely did play into his struggles last season. But I'm looking more at the injuries, the oblique strain, and some of the other injuries that he was going through, the change of ballpark, the new scenery. Now, I think that in 2016, all of that played a role, played an effect in his fantasy production. But I think coming into the 2017 season, I think he'll be healthy. So I'm not expecting a repeat of 2015 when he was unbelievable. But I do think he's much better than last season. He's coming at a discount on draft day because fantasy owners are romantic. So I think Zach Greinke is a tire that can be fixed.
You're going Zach Greinke is your tire that you will be fixing.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Did I do well?
Oh, I think you did very well.
Thank you.
You pointed some stuff out. We had a lot of Zach Greinke conversation. You're banking back that Zach Greinke becomes an ace again because of SP1? Is that what you're telling me?
I think Zach Greinke is back in the SP1 conversation.
Okay. Tony Zincotta, give me a flat that you're fixing in 2017.
Yeah, you know, flats are things that happen sometimes that are induced by owners. Sometimes you put too much air in the tire. Other times you run over a piece of glass. Other times you run over a nail. And sometimes people do it to themselves. And this guy did it to himself. It is the Boston Red Sox third baseman, Pablo Sandoval.
Mm-hmm.
If you look just a couple years ago, he's only 30 years old this year. 2 years ago in the Boston Red Sox, he had an offseason where he had 10 home runs, a .245 batting average. You go back to San Francisco in 2014, which isn't that long ago. This is a guy in a great, great pitcher's ballpark, arguably the number one pitcher's ballpark in baseball. He had 16 home runs, 279. From every indication, this is a weight problem. And this is a serious issue that a lot of people have, right? This guy ate himself out of baseball. And from everything I saw, I've seen pictures of him where he looks like he's got this problem under control, and he's going to be back. And the Red Sox did everything they could to open up this situation for him this season. They didn't go out. They went out and got Chris Sale, and they got a team that's ready to go. But they traded Travis Shaw. They didn't bring a third baseman in. I think the Boston Red Sox believe that Pablo Sandoval can play.
I think so, too. I think they are counting on him, which makes me think, all right, maybe we can count on him, too.
Let me ask a question about that.
Yeah.
With Sandoval, right? I kind of feel like every year is...
I agree.
I'm the best year of my life. You know what I'm saying? Mr. May. And, you know, Mr. Spring Training. Mr. March. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Where he comes out, you know what I mean? And he's the best shape of his career. I'm going to be a better player this year. I dedicated myself. Nutrition plan, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm in the cage. I'm in the box. But then we get into the season, and it's the same thing. Now, what Tony said is correct. Apparently, Boston feels differently because they more or less are giving him the job going into the season. So,
right.
And this is a team that has aspirations of playing deep into October. So they expect Sandoval to be there. And so I think you look at it either of those two ways. But I feel as if I feel like I've heard that before about Sandoval.
But the thing is, Sandoval costs you nothing, right? It literally costs you nothing.
Yep. Yeah.
But, and to be fair, Tony, if he doesn't work out, they'll just put Brock Holt at third base. That'll be it, right? Like, I know we said they didn't bring anybody in, but they do have Brock Holt to come play third base.
Yeah, but I don't think he's an everyday third baseman. I don't think the Boston Red Sox think he's an everyday third baseman. But when you're the Boston Red Sox and in today's Major League Baseball environment, they just go and address that thing in July.
Okay. And they have the ability to do that. Okay, Scotty, fix a flat.
I'm going to go with this guy who was a big disappointment for me in one of my leagues last year. I don't think necessarily he's a fantasy ace, but I think he's certainly better than what we saw last year. I think when you look at Marcus Stroman, you know, I think the ground ball rate was down. This is a really good ground ball pitcher. You know, when you look at his xFIP was only 3.41 and his ERA was 4.37.
Scotty, before you continue, I apologize for interrupting. You want to just explain the difference between FIP and xFIP for those that don't understand it?
Well, xFIP was like, you know, assumes that you're going to be in the league average in BABIP and home runs allowed.
Okay.
But, you know, and the FIP was only 3.71, which, look, it's still high for the American League. I'm not saying the guy is going to be an ace, but I think he's better than what we saw last year. When you look at the fact he only had a 68.6% strand rate, you know, I think that's a little out of whack. I think he's better than what we saw last year. You know, steamer projections are calling for him to be 11-9 with 3.69 ERA. You know, I think I can agree with that sort of ERA. You know, he's a guy that maybe I want as my third pitcher, whereas last year, you know, he was with the 4.37 ERA, it's like not even rosterable. He's not going to give you more than 8 strikeouts a game, if that much, but I think he's a craftier, better pitcher than what we saw last year. Initially, I was thinking Justin Upton, but you look at the fact that, like, he had 31 home runs. He's not a flat, but I think with Upton, the batting average is going to come back up.
Okay, so Marcus Stroman, you believe, regained some form a little bit. It comes as the SP3.
Yeah.
SP3.
Yeah.
In 2017. For me, my flat tire from last year, much like Corey's, not really, because Corey wasn't totally injury-related. Zach Greinke had many more problems than that. My guy is really totally injury-related, and I think if this guy can stay healthy, like, he's a young guy, and sometimes tires, you know, you get a car, and the tire just goes. Like, you hit a bump in the road, for instance, right? You hit a pothole, and you go into it. And maybe get a nail in the tire. And I feel like this poor pitcher got like a nail in his young elbow. And they pulled the nail out, and now he's going to be healthy. And he's going to be good. And he has the ability, I believe, to be an SP2 for you in fantasy baseball. And you're getting him for much, much cheaper than that. I believe that guy is Lance McCullers in Houston. I think this guy really has the ability to be a star in this league. We have seen him, you know, when he debuted in Major League Baseball in 2015, had a 3.22 ERA, He had a K to 9 ratio over 9. I was impressed. I thought last year, right, this guy's going to make a jump layer here. Had elbow problems coming in last year. Really battled elbow problems throughout the year. But when he did pitch, he had that identical 3.22 ERA, right? The strike K to 9 ratio was over that. Now it was over 11, right? I understand the left on base percentage was over 80%, which is frustrating. But the ground ball percentage, near 60 is pretty good. To me, Lance McCullers, as long as he can stay healthy, you are getting a starting pitcher that at, what, 23 years old? He's 23 years old. I mean, this is a star in the making, in my opinion, and you're getting him in the 14th, 15th round. This is a tire that, just with a little oil and a little grease, he can be really good in 2017. So I'm going with Lance McCullers as my tire that can be fixed here. Let me give you guys a chance to comment on everybody else's tire here. Scotty, Corey said Zach Greinke. Tony said Pablo Sandoval. I said Lance McCullers. What do you think about those three players?
I like the upside of McCullers. I thought that yours was the most interesting of them of all. And I thought Greinke was interesting because that came from the debate that we did last month where basically, you know, like you were kind of down on Greinke, you know, and in terms of where he was going in drafts. But I think where he's going is kind of accurate. You got to think Zach Greinke is just a better pitcher than what we saw last year.
Okay. Sandoval?
Sandoval I'm a little bit more skeptical on. But what are you really going to get from him this year? It's like, but, you know, he's got nowhere to bounce but back. So, you know, you can't go any down any more than he did last year.
Okay. Corey, what about you? Sandoval, McCullers, Stroman.
I've already spoke on Sandoval, how I feel about that. But at the price tag he's coming at right now, he's a guy that definitely, I mean, you're spending a dollar on him. If he brings you back $18, $19 for fantasy production, then you hit a home run right there. So it's going to be interesting to see how that play out. But injury continues to be a thing. But right now at the draft stock he's going at, I think it's something that we can – I think I can entertain that. I can get on board with that. Your guy Lance McCullers is another dude right now. Let me see how quick. His right now his NFBC ADP is 182. So another player that you can get for pretty good. Now this is a guy that can – if he stays healthy, hits his numbers – probably come at about a 3.32 ERA. The whip would probably be in the 1.2-1.3 ranking. He'd probably give you 160 to 170K. So Lance McCullers getting that kind of value at 182 coming off the board. Don't have a problem with that. And Stroman is a dude that we've been expecting to see it from for years right now. Injuries has been a thing with him. But here's another thing is this is a young pitcher that's still learning how to play the game. So people are always going to go in on Stroman. Now you got to pay a little bit heftier price tag for Stroman on draft day, but we do like him as an elite strikeout pitcher, and you just worry about the home field, the home ballpark, but he's an elite strikeout pitcher at 25 years old. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think the one thing with him, though, is the strikeout. That's what you don't get.
With McCullers.
No, you do get the strikeouts with McCullers. With Stroman. You do get the strikeouts with McCullers.
Well, 175 is not an elite level of strikeouts? Isn't 200 like gangster? You know
over
what I mean?
200
games. 175 strikeouts is that's.
He's gonna top.
He's not gonna throw 225. You know what I'm saying? Like
Stroman's gonna top out if you're lucky at 8 Ks per 9. If you're lucky, he's more of a ground ball pitcher.
Okay, all right. But 175 Ks, you don't think is realistic?
That's not a dominant strikeout pitcher.
It's a good strikeout pitcher though.
It's fine. It's not terrible.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Not bad, no. But it's not. That doesn't make me call him a strikeout pitcher, though.
That's true.
Yeah,
I'll agree with that. Tony, what about the other guys for you? Zach Greinke, Marcus Stroman, Lance McCullers. What do you think of those three guys?
The one thing is there's a difference between fantasy baseball and Major League Baseball.
Right.
And Scott, using the words, he's a good ground ball pitcher, makes me obviously look somewhere else, and I want no interest in a guy like Marcus Stroman.
Okay.
I have zero. He will never be owned on a team that I participate on. He just doesn't strike people out, and you need that when you look at it. The Zach Greinke situation is a guy that I think because of where he's going, he brings extreme value, and I always get to a point in the draft where you're like, if everything works out right, who could be a guy that could
right.
be a top-tier pitcher? And he's one of those guys.
Right.
Lance McCullers, I think, is a great pick right yeah. now in fantasy drafts where he's going. I think if you – and this is the advantage of drafting early.
Sure.
You get Lance McCullers right now, possibly in double-digit rounds. As soon as he was able to step on a mound and pitch in spring training, that's not going to happen ever again.
Totally.
Tony, let me ask you a question about Stroman. Is he Mike Leake or Jordan Zimmerman?
Yeah, that's a problem. He's one of those guys, yeah.
Zimmerman pitched really well without getting strikeouts for a while.
Leake pitched okay, too.
He did, but...
We always felt like Leake was pitching over his head, though.
Zimmerman used to get wins.
Leake's pitching over his head and made $100 million.
Yeah.
So, like...
We never felt like he was a good fantasy pitcher.
We never feel like Jordan Zimmerman's like a good fantasy pitcher either.
The feeling was always like Leake was a better real-life pitcher than a fantasy
pitcher. Same with Zimmerman.
With Zimmerman, he kept the ERA down, the whip down.
And you're telling me that Marcus Stroman is Mike Leake or Jordan Zimmerman? I don't want Marcus Stroman either.
Well, I'm saying, which one is he? With Mike Leake, for a long time, most people believe the numbers were a mirage. With Zimmerman, you're like, okay, he didn't strike out a lot of people, but he still kept his ERA and his whip down.
I don't want... That's what you're telling... That's the comparison. I don't want Marcus Stroman at all.
The Leake situation was crazy because he pitched in a good hitter's ballpark, right?
Yeah, Cincinnati
forever.
Didn't
strike anyone out. And he kept the ERA under 4 all those years. It was kind of crazy what was going on there. He had some huge high strand rates, like in the upper 70s throughout his career. So you kept waiting for him to collapse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And to Tony's point, I think he understands. Do you think he's more Jordan Zimmerman or Mike Leake?
I think he's Jordan Zimmerman. Zimmerman was a better pitcher. He was able to pitch to bad contact, is what a lot of people are trying to do these days.
And the thing with Stroman, let's say you were getting a 2-round discount on where he was going now, right? Let's just say, because it seems like the room is negative on Stroman. But in the second half of the season last year, the strikeout rate went up. 25 years old, if the strikeout rate can continue to go up, then why not? Why not dollar make you holler? You're not going to get a
dollar. Well, it's not dollar make you holler.
Exactly. But it seems like people are negative on him, at least from the room we're sitting in right now.
Because that's the fan – that's Tony is, like, probably indicative of, like, most fantasy baseball rooms. It's like if the guy is not striking out a lot of people,
sure,
the average fantasy analyst or the above-average fantasy analyst – doesn't want him on the team. I don't think the strikeout rate is going to go up,
but it went up in the second half last season.
I do think he's a good pitcher.
All right, I'm just looking at the numbers.
But, you know, Tony,
last season it rose. The strikeout rate went from 16 to 22. That's significant. Did he find something? Did he put it all together?
He could. Last year, I believe, was that first year fully back from the ACL injury.
Yeah.
If anything, you know.
So if he continued to see a rise in the strikeout rate. Then if you're in a room that devalues him, like the one that we're in right now, then you might have something on your hands.
Could be.
Nobody's buying into this.
I'm throwing stuff at the wall.
I like Stroman. Maybe he's like, my third or fourth starter, but I don't think that I'm not expecting like the strikeout rate to suddenly hit 9 per 9.
So you're still gonna, for instance, take Aaron Sanchez over Marcus Stroman, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Right now, his ADP, his NFBC ADP is 165. He's going off the board around the 40th pitcher.
Tony, you're taking Aaron Sanchez over Marcus Stroman, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I love Aaron Sanchez. Okay. Jim Bonham was a guy that loved this guy, and I didn't believe him. And then last year, he just blew it off.
Yeah,
I think
he did. It was awesome.
Be a real stud. Yeah.
Yeah, he was absolutely fantastic. Okay. Take a break. When we come back, we will do our team of the day here as we pick a player from the Baltimore Orioles. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Today we turn to the Baltimore Orioles and have a discussion, a debate. And I want to start, gentlemen, at two young pitchers. I want to start with two guys that have seemingly forever been linked in the Baltimore Orioles farm system. Last year, and these are two guys that it has to be the last 3 years toward the end of the draft, each of them, I don't want to say everyone, it's only two of them, each of them are drafted. And we always expect, for just like Tony was saying, hey, if I draft this guy toward the end of the draft, I'm going to get a potential stud And we've, like I said, literally been doing it for 3 freaking years. And that is Dylan Bundy, and that is Kevin Gausman. Dylan Bundy versus Kevin Gausman. Tony, where do you stand?
This is a good one, but I am going to go with Kevin Gausman. At least he showed a little bit. Dylan Bundy's a guy that really hasn't shown it as of yet. We saw little glimpses, could be, would be, but the whole thing is when you get these young pitchers, too, that haven't done it and they have injuries and they have setbacks, they're going to be on ins limits. You're not going to get that with Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman has the expectations probably to be the ace of the staff this season at 26 years of age. Coming off last year where you looked at it, he was almost at a strikeout per inning at 8.72. He had an ERA in the mid-3s. I'm going to go with Kevin Gausman in this one.
All right. Scotty.
Yeah, I got to lean Gausman. I feel like I've been hearing about Bundy forever. Like,
sure.
He's our baseball Jared Cook, like our Bigfoot or something like that. Like, we've been hearing about this forever. You know, we've been hearing about the strikeout potential because of injuries. Maybe he hasn't matched. I just feel like I'm not blown away by either one of these guys, but I feel like maybe Gausman is a little bit safer, like Tony expected to be the anchor of the staff, et cetera. You know, some of the peripherals point to maybe that there might be a little bit of jump in ERA this year. That could be
for Gausman, you're saying?
For Gausman, like, you know, you look at the FIP, but I just feel safer with Gausman. Like, you know, I feel like he can compete at the major league level, where I just haven't seen that from Bundy yet.
Well, the second half of Bundy's year was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So I don't want to say we haven't seen it yet, because I think
over a full season,
small sample size, right? Of course.
Yeah.
But so last year, Bundy finishes with that 4 ERA in total. Gausman finishes with 3.61. But you said, Scotty, you expect Gausman's to go up a little bit here, right? You expect it to go up. So you're going up where? Like into the Bundy range? Now, Bundy's FIP and XFIP also much higher, so you expect that to go up too. Like, you said you don't want either of these guys. Like, these two were supposed to be aces forever for the Orioles.
Right.
Now they're counting on Gausman and Bundy's Bigfoot and all that. You don't want either of them? And I just asked you like 14 questions in one sentence. So.
If I had to pick one, I'd say Gausman.
You don't want either of them.
But neither one of them excites me.
Okay.
Yeah.
We already hit most of the points. Obviously, Bundy is going to come to a situation where innings are going to be a problem. Even though we did see some improvement in the second half last season, the velocity on the fastball was also up and down. So that's going to be something to watch. And, you know, obviously, fantasy owners being romantic, we've been let down by him, by Bundy a lot. Kevin Gausman, on the other hand, has looked like he's developing into an ace. He's going to give you probably about 180, 185 strikeouts this season. The ERA is going to be in the range, in the numbers that you want to hit for your fantasy teams. So I think that that Gausman is a player that I think fantasy owners are going to be in on in the upcoming season. He's going to give you probably about 180, 190 innings. Pitcher that you can rely on as long as he stays healthy. Now, the home runs have been a problem for Gausman, but that is going to come, obviously, pitching in Baltimore. So, but yeah, I think Gausman is the guy that I would easily select between him and Dylan Bundy. Right now, his ADP in the NFBC is 152, right? Steven Matz is 168.
I'd rather have Steven Matz.
Yeah.
Does everybody agree that they'd rather have Steven Matz?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
Cool.
Definitely for me. Okay.
Why is that? Why is that so unanimous?
Well, Matz is a much better pitcher.
Yeah.
That simple. Yeah. We've seen that first half from Matz. Spectacular.
Yeah. The only reason why Matz is,
you know, he can throw a slider anymore.
Health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was the first Orioles one. But
you got to be able to get on the field in order to earn for my team.
I understand.
That's true.
Because it's Tuesday, I wanted to give you another one, a twofer today.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
$2 Tuesday.
$2 Tuesday.
My
bottomless night in the Roto-X. Adam Jones, I know we spoke about him a couple weeks ago. Adam Jones is a former first-round pick in fantasy. He doesn't run anymore. He hasn't run in years, to be honest with you. But he kind of does what he does. Tony Cincotta, would you rather have Adam Jones or Jonathan Scope?
Oh, this one is easy for me. It's definitely Jonathan Scope.
Ooh, okay.
You look at second base position. You look at the second base position. I'm talking a 25-year-old kid that has the ability to hit 25-plus home runs.
Yep.
I look at this guy as a guy that should be going higher than he actually should. But home runs, we talk about it time and time again. There was 111 home runs over 20 guys, right? 20 home runs or more, 111 guys. So it kind of devaluates Scope a little more. But I don't know what Adam Jones does. He doesn't steal bases anymore.
Sure.
So I'm going to go with Jonathan Scope. And I really think that there's a chance. I would never predict this. I would never put in a projection.
Right.
But there's a chance I can get 30 home runs from this kid from a second base position.
Scotty, where about you?
These guys are going to give you comparable numbers. Like, they'll hit 265 with 27 homers, pretty much when you look at things projection-wise. But, you know, I'm with Tony on one thing. It's like Adam Jones may be past his prime, where with Scope at 25 years old, maybe we haven't seen the best yet. And to get – I might get 30 homers out of Scope before I do Jones this year. You know, where I could see – I could see Jones continuing to decline a little bit. You know, what is the, have we seen the best of Jonathan Scope yet? So I'm going to go with Scope, but it's like the projections are like almost the same.
This is interesting one right here. It's kind of where do you put the value at on draft day more, because basically they're giving you the same numbers. You have one player that's trending downward, but that player also turned around the back of the baseball card. You know he's going to hit his numbers. We've seen him do it before time and time again. Now he's playing – he's a center fielder. That's a very physically taxing position, so it's easy to see those guys start to decline. Whereas Scope, second baseman, young guy. But the thing about it is, don't we have a lot of young second basemen that you would rather have, even if you got to pay up the price a little bit higher? You know what I'm saying? So this is a tough call. We're basically looking at what they're going to do for your team is the same. I think it depends on how you decide to build your roster if you're going to take either one of these guys. Now, the thing with Scope is his splits are terrible. He cannot hit left-handed pitching, strikes out a lot. So, really, you're looking at the big prodigious power. But, really, Adam Jones is going to hit the ball out the ballpark, too.
So, you're going Jones.
I'm going to go Scope.
How could you go Scope after that?
It's the younger player, you know what I'm saying? If I'm in the pickle, because what is Scope he's a second baseman. He's a 2B1.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
He's a 2B1. Adam Jones is a what, an OF3?
Well, what's interesting to me is I look at the NFBC ADPs now. Jonathan Scope is actually a 2B2. He's a 15th ranked second baseman.
Fantasy Pros consensus ranking, he's 16th.
All right, 2B2.
He's a 2B2 who hit 29 home runs last year. A 2B2. For the record, you can't hit lefties, fine. But you're telling me that Jonathan Scope and Adam Jones are going to have the same numbers. And I'm going to get this guy 60 picks later.
Yep.
At second base. How do I not pay Jonathan Scope?
But you don't like the second baseman at the top of the board that we've been talking about, you know what I'm saying, for the past couple of weeks?
I like Scope better than some of these guys, sure.
What if I already got one of those top second basemen use him as my middle infielder? Yeah.
Okay, all right. Listen,
I get 30 home runs from my middle infield spot.
How are you building this team with 30 home runs from your middle infield spot?
Nicely. All
right. I want to see how it's put together. You know what I mean? Somebody show it to me with Scope as the middle infielder.
I just think like you Scope as middle infielder. What's
yeah? Nah, you can do that. Yeah, I can see it.
What are you looking for? If you didn't do that, you want somebody that's going to steal 20 bases? Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you got second baseman that give you that, you got second baseman up at the top of the.
What if D. Gordon's your second baseman?
You're not getting no pop.
Right. That's why you got Jonathan Scope.
Nice balance, yeah.
There you go.
He did a good job figuring that out, Greg.
No problem, yeah. Man. That's what I'm here for, man.
No, listen, we got to talk through these things and hash it out. You know what I'm saying? I'm just getting starting drafted today.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
It was the Super Bowl was Sunday, Greg.
Yes, I realized that.
Jesus.
It's a hell of a Super Bowl.
It was.
Hell of a Super Bowl. Tony, the Super Bowl was so good that Tom Brady made the list.
Tom Brady made the list, and yeah. He's winning, and he continues to win, and he's not sick of it yet.
No, he's not. Did you guys see the guy that stole his jersey? You see this story?
Yeah, there's a police investigation now. They said the media was in his locker, and you know he's looking around for the jersey, saying, "Where is it? I know it was here," and his teammates were looking for it too.
Oh yeah, the dude posted on Instagram. put he had a picture of his jersey, holding him up. Hashtag stole his jersey.
How did he get it?
Who did? I got to see this guy.
He took it off the sidelines. Put his T-shirt on. Just went down and grabbed it.
Oh, I wouldn't have told Makes nobody.
Sense. He put it on Instagram. The dude. Hashtag stole Brady's jersey or whatever.
Why would he do that?
Because he's an idiot.
Oh man, I'd have had that jersey. I'd have been like, yo.
What the problem? Hold on.
Where you gonna sell it?
Yeah.
I'd have found a way to sell it. I guarantee you that. I'd have found a way to sell it. You know what I'm saying?
You would have found
they
the
got
market?
Trap houses in Boston.
Yeah, high rollers in those trap houses.
Huh?
Yeah, high rollers.
I don't. You never know. You know what I'm saying? But somebody up there would have took it off my hands.
All right. Thank you.
I'm not that type of guy though.
Corey, you mentioned a couple of moments ago, you mentioned about being a romantic with certain things.
Yeah.
Well, when you come back, we're going to see kind of romantic you are because Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we are 1 week from Valentine's Day.
I know. I had to let break a young lady's heart last night.
So it's time to give some Valentine's Day presents out a week early because... Well, a couple of reasons. One, you want to order your presents early so they get there in time. You want to be a forward thinker, not to buy flowers the day of and that way they jack up the prices. And number two, I won't be here next Tuesday. So,
are you and your girlfriend doing something?
Well, I'm going to be in Florida visiting my mom.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Nice. When we come back, Valentine's Day presents. Road Rush in the morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Valentine's Day is coming up. 1 week from today.
Are you trying? Is this your deep voice? Your Valentine's Day voice?
No, baby. That's my deep voice.
That's your deep voice.
This is my deep voice for Valentine's Day. There you go. What is this? I wasn't sure if that was Valentine's Day music.
This is not Valentine's Day music.
No.
Yes. So Valentine's Day is coming up. And I know here in New York City, I would you buy flowers on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
You know, but they, so one thing I like here is the bodega. Every bodega sells flowers, right?
Yeah.
And they're nice flowers. They aren't gross by any means. They are nice flowers.
It's expensive flowers, though.
They're only expensive on Valentine's Day. No. Like you go right now down the street. You get flowers. You get flowers $10, and they're gorgeous.
How come we should be pro flowers? What's up with them? They should holler at us.
They should holler at us. Yeah. I agree. Pro flowers, if you listen, holler at us.
Yeah, we'll do you justice
for sure.
Promo code executive.
Yeah, absolutely. But the bodega's downstairs. Like $10, you get nice flowers. I bought flowers recently. It was like $8 or $9. They were nice.
Yeah.
But on Valentine's Day, those are $20, $25.
But I mean,
they jack them up on V-Day, which
it
is why.
Makes sense.
Which is, of course, it is. They're not stupid. Yeah. Which is why you got to do it a week early, right? You got to do it a week early. Now, Scott, you've been married for 25 years here. What do you do on Valentine's Day?
Well, as far as the flowers go, though, it's like I think the ladies can usually tell the difference between the bodega flowers and something you buy at the florist.
So you go buy yours from the florist.
I actually like. When we're on our other platform, in the Rockefeller Center subway, there's a florist in the subway there who had really good flowers. And whenever I brought them home, my wife absolutely loved them. And
How much were they?
What was it? It was like I would get like a half dozen for like. For like $25 or something like that.
I mean, so I buy flowers in a bodega. He buys flowers in a subway, and I'm getting killed here.
the quality of the flowers when I bought them from the bodega, she could look at them and tell these were really good flowers for the price.
Sure, it was nice, the
quality of the flowers. And if I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to go to the real florist. I'd rather get 3 or 4 roses if I'm on a budget from a regular florist than go buy them at the bodega.
Well, we could agree to disagree, but nevertheless, what are you doing?
I mean, you could also just get them on the side of the road. You can go to 7-Eleven and buy it by the counter.
Well, I think bodegas have nice flowers. There's a good bouquet there.
I just spent $7 on a draft app, Scott. I can't go cheap on the flowers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can't
to,
either.
So, Scott, you again? What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
We haven't talked about it.
See, this is an issue.
Yes, yeah, Scott.
Because you're a week out. You gotta,
they gotta be on top.
I think I know where I'm. There's a new cheesecake factory in our neighborhood, and my wife has mentioned wanting to eat there a lot, so I'll probably take it to the cheesecake factory.
Nice. There you go. Yeah. That's a nice spot. Yeah. It's a nice
and
meal.
Florio says the food is really good there.
Florio's been there with his girlfriend already.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
I think so.
Now, what are you doing Valentine's Day?
I don't know yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of locked in right now. So, for the most part, I'll probably just be kicking it. You know what I'm saying? I don't really think it's going to be no date or anything like that. I'm kind of, you know, I'm just kicking it.
Tony, what about you? Applebee's?
I'm not kicking it, though. Kicking it's really, really very strenuous. And it's not anything that I have in my logo. Like, I've never been anywhere and said, you know right. what? What are you doing tonight? I'm going to kick it. Yeah. No, that never comes out of my... Do you think that's... Greg, do you use the word kick it?
No. I don't think I'm allowed to use the word kick it.
You can use the word, Greg.
No, I don't use kick it.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, I don't. Really? If
you say I'm kicking it, people will know what you're talking about. It means you're chilling, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right coming out of me, though. Yeah, so for Valentine's Day, I'm going to be in Florida, like I said. I'm taking my mom. Nice. Going out with my mom and my girlfriend down in Boca. That's right.
Yeah.
So you're taking your girlfriend with you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice.
My mom too. Yeah. Anyway, so...
It'd be awesome if you could put yourself up for auction, right?
You can. There is ability to do that. I believe that's called being a gigolo.
Oh.
Yes.
Do men ever get prosecuted for that?
Yeah, I think... Well, there's a show on Showtime called Gigolos. I knew that.
Yeah, but it's legal. Right? It should be.
What about when, like, you know, you have bachelors for, like, charity functions and, like, the women bid on them and stuff?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get to our Valentine's Day.
Kramer did it.
Our Valentine's Day love in baseball. But before we do that, our producer, Chris Pavone, like, all right, you go to the Cheesecake Factory. I'm going out with my family. And, you know, Corey's kicking it. Tony's not kicking
not
it.
Not going
to
kick it.
What was this, Pavone, that you're trying to say? Okay, so Bruno's not going to reveal
his
Valentine's Day surprise. He can reveal a few things.
Yes.
He's in love. Let's see.
He's got tickets right by the ice at the Ranger game.
No, Byron. Scott, that was last week for me and my girlfriend.
Jeez.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm already taking care
of
that.
So, Bruno, what is the plan here? Because I know a lot of it's a surprise, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to do something a little bit more, not just Valentine's Day, something a little bit more I don't want to say permanent, but...
Ooh.
Damn it. One of the things I will say that I got her, she's a big Harry Potter fan. I got her a Golden Snitch bracelet that goes with the rest of the jewelry that I've gotten her over the years. So that's just part of it.
Nice.
She's also a big fan of the actress Kristen Chenoweth. I was able to get an autographed CD from her.
That's pretty cool.
And that's just... Nice. That's only part.
Oh, yoga pants, too?
Jesus. This is his man's girlfriend, Tony. This is his man's girlfriend.
I know, but...
All right, why don't we get to the Valentine's Day awards here, Craig?
Yes, it's not Valentine's Day awards. So we're a week away from Valentine's Day, and I want you guys to send some love to a fantasy baseball player that's going way too low in drafts, right? He needs to feel the love. And I want to know, Scotty, who are you giving the love to? Valentine's Day.
Who am I giving the love to on Valentine's Day? Overall, like,
well, he's going too low in drafts. He needs your love.
Going too low in drafts. It needs my love.
Okay, so you don't know. All right.
So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go to a guy that's done it before. That's kind of my theme today.
Sure.
God has done it before. You know what I'm saying? In a situation where coming off a bad season, coming off a down season, getting drafted way too low in drafts right now. So, I think I see a value on the board in the at outfield. Well, maybe not out. Well, he might end up being in your util spot, right? His NFBC ADP right now is 257.
He needs some love.
He needs some love. That's low enough for you.
Give him some love.
How about likely New York Yankee designated hitter?
Matt Holliday. Okay.
Hitting in the middle of that New York Yankee offense. Right. Coming back, as long as he's healthy, he should be able to put up 30 bombs. Listen, you're not going to get anything else, you know what I'm saying, from Holliday. The batting average hover around 260, 265. Not really going to be driving in a ton of runs like he was back in his prime years. But you know what? I think he's a safe bet for 25 bombs this season, getting drafted at 257. I think Matt Holliday is a guy that, you know, even though he's 37 years old, I think he's in a situation that fits where he's at right now, and I think this is a guy that we can kind of, you know, look forward to being an asset for fantasy owners, depending on, you know, as far as where he's drafted at.
So Matt Holliday.
Matt Holliday.
Feel the love.
Matt Holliday. Flowers for Matt Holliday.
That one. Yeah, I like that one too, Corey. It's a good one. Tony Zincata. Thank you. Tony Zincata. Who are you giving the love to on Valentine's Day?
I'm going to go with a guy that people thought he was a disappointment last year, and the numbers don't say that. That's Corey Dickerson of the Tampa Rays. Mm. Last year, he comes over from Colorado, goes to a great pitcher's ballpark, and still hits 24 home runs. Now, this is a guy that hit for batting average in Colorado, hit for batting average in the minor leagues. I think the batting average comes up from last year's 245, and I still get in the upper 20s of home runs, and I'm going to get a 260, 270 batting average this year. He's going way too low in drafts.
Mm, Corey Dickerson feeling the love. Who would you rather have, Corey Dickerson or Matt Holliday? Tom?
Dickerson, but Dickerson, I by a little bit, but I like the Matt Holliday call.
All right, there you go. Corey Dickerson over Matt Holliday by a little bit. FSTA, Dickerson went.
Scotty's
a last-minute guy. Scotty's a last-minute guy. So that's why I'm
going to probably say Jacob DeGrom.
I think
people, you know, he's like the 18th pitcher off the board right now in the NFBC. By all accounts, he's throwing pain-free. And, you know, I think, you know, this guy can definitely go back to being dominant this year. Last year, the K per nine was down to 8.70. I think, you know, it can get it up well back over 9.
So he didn't really go deep for that. He can't run.
Going deep is not his thing.
Neither is the Cowboys in the playoffs.
Great. Let's use that joke for the millionth time, the millionth day in a row. Yeah.
It applies, doesn't it?
Great.
Yeah. Well, at least I make up jokes, though. You don't have a sense of humor.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I came up with a whole Valentine's Day bit. Yeah. That's a pretty good sense of humor, I think. Yeah.
Hey, Corey Dickerson.
If you think that's a sense of humor, that says
a lot.
I'm
looking at Dickerson right now. You tell you what, his ADP in 295.
Terrible.
Oh, my goodness. A song, you know what I mean?
He needed some love, you know?
Yeah, we got to get him some loving.
My guy is out there in Seattle, giving him a long-distance dedication.
Yeah.
Giving my man a long-distance dedication. This dude last year, not that we can count wins for anything, because, you know, wins don't mean anything. But he's going to the 25th round with 16 wins. He's a dude that, as long as he stays healthy, man, he's a pretty good pitcher. ERA wasn't good last year. I think it's going to come down. My man is Sashi Iwakuma. He doesn't strike anybody out. ERA's not good. But I think this guy's a good pitcher. At the end of the draft, I like Sashi Iwakuma out there in Seattle for my long distance dedication.
He's a guy. We've seen him do it before. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good one.
Just get
too,
healthy.
Right?
Just get healthy, man.
Yeah, just get healthy.
He pitched 200 innings last year. I know the ERA was not good. I realized the strikeout rate, it was the lowest of his career. I think he can come back and have a better year. I really do. We'll see.
By the way, like, if you wanted me to go deeper, like, Adam Conley's like the 85th pitcher off the board.
Adam Conley,
and sometimes we're like a year ahead on a guy. And I think we were a year ahead on Adam Conley. You know, we talk about a guy, you guys before who were gym rats, you know, in terms of baseball. Adam Conley watches a ton of film. He's got a reputation as a gym rat, but his stuff is also very live.
There you go. Adam Conley.
Yeah.
Feeling the love from Scotty E. Scotty Love. Giving the love to Adam Conley.
Scotty Love was a break dancer before a fantasy analyst.
And now he's the love maker.
Yep.
Scotty Love.
He went from Hall of Fame breakdancer to Hall of Fame fantasy analyst. Scotty Love.
We'll give you Tony Zincata's thoughts on Adam Conley and Sashi Iwakuma on the other side of the break. This is, my friends, the Road to Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Week away, I'm getting in the mood, feeling the love, deep fantasy drafts here. Here we go. Tony Cicada, before we went to break, Scott Angle felt the love was wanted to give it to his boy, his man crush, Adam Conley. He said it was a year early. Is this the year for Adam Conley?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is Adam Conley. Adam Conley's a guy that could end up with a strikeout per inning. Needs to improve that just a tad bit. But the one thing that's going to make this guy a better pitcher is controlling the walk rate. He walked over 4 per 9. Yet throughout his career, he was in the threes in the minor league level, even in the pro level. I think he controls the walks, and that strikeout has the ability to move up this season. I think Conley's a great pick right now where he's going.
Hey, I interviewed Conley like twice last year. Once early in the season, once later in the season. And he's very just much into like the art of pitching. It's like all the stuff that Tony like talks about, you know, you'd probably hear Conley saying it like in his own vernacular.
I agree. So I listened to you last year, Scotty Love.
Yeah.
I listened to you and you said, get on Adam Conley.
Yeah.
You know what I did? I got in on Adam Conley. I traded for Adam Conley, in fact, because I believed that he would be a breakout candidate second half of the year because the certain numbers were really good. As I see the strikeout rate continue to rise, again, this is just...
I like this. You're really in character.
It's also the lowest he's ever like been volume-wise.
You're damn right I am, baby. The strikeout numbers continue to rise. The innings, Scotty Love, continue to rise as well for Adam Conley. The ERA on the phone, as long as it continues to drop, I think Adam Conley's in store for a good year. I don't know why my love voice is southern.
You sound like Bill Clinton.
I don't know why it just comes out that way. I like Adam Conley for the record. What about Hisashi Iwakuma, Tony?
That sounds like a vacuum cleaner. Can he mow down hitters? He doesn't strike anyone out, but he pitches a great pitcher's ballpark. He's going to get you some wins. He's going to get a respectable ERA. I think he's perfect guy to have on your roster. Like, if you have 7 bench spots and you have one or two extra pitchers, he's the perfect guy to have in there, like, for 2-star weeks.
Right. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. What about you, Corey, and these two guys? Conley and Iwakuma.
Conley. Adam Conley.
Yeah, baby.
Let me start off with Iwakuma. The injuries definitely going to be something that we have to keep an eye on with this dude. And not to mention the fact that his innings, you know what I'm saying, is going to limit the fact that it could limit his wins, even though wins are not something that we're counting on or depending on. But I'm just letting you know that the innings could be an issue for him because they kind of want to keep him in and out, you know what I'm saying, to make him last as long as possible. Now, when it comes to your guy, Adam Conley, the ERA is going to be under 4. Wins, you're not really something that you're really looking for. Now, the strikeouts are going to be low also. He's a late round pitcher, you know what I'm saying, that I think you can get a little something from. I don't really know if I'm in on them like that.
Strikeout rate is climbing, baby.
It is climbing.
It's climbing.
As long as
if he can get to 200 innings, Scotty Love.
Oh, he's not going to get to 200 innings.
If he can get to 180 innings, Scotty Love. Kind of like a good player.
I don't know how much they'll put a leash on him because he did pitch last year. You know?
They only pitched 133 innings, though, baby.
Yeah.
133 innings, he's got to be better than that. But I think he's got the ability. It's going to get through the order the third time.
He was hurt for a little while last
second half of the year. He got hurt. And if he can just get through that order the second time. Good ballpark, good player.
You don't think he's a streamer?
No, I want to own Adam Conley.
All right.
I want to own Adam Conley. When we come back, we go deep. Continue going deep here. We'll pick a player. 100 to 150. The guys will pick. We'll analyze. Stick around. Hour number 3 comes your way next.